never heard of you before. It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
Luke 10:17-21. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do.
Change. You are the God you say you are. When I'm afraid, you calm and still my beating heart. You stay the same. When hope is just a distant thought, you take my pain and you lead me to the cross. What love is this, that you gave your love for me? And made a way for me to know you, and I confess, you're always enough for me. Scars upon your hands, and hold the truth that when I can't, you always can. And standing here beneath the shadow of the cross, I'm overwhelmed that I keep finding open arms. You're all I need.
Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for giving us the activity of our life. Thank you for protecting us and taking care of us, daily. Thank you for blessing AZ, blessing this podcast, blessing the people listening to this podcast, and blessing those that support it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Mackenzie. Good morning, good morning, good morning. So we thank God this morning for his mercy. We thank him for our listeners. We thank him for giving us a voice. Amen. And of all the places around the world, we ended up here this Sunday morning. So let's recognize God, who is our everything. Yes. Greetings again to my brothers and sisters in Christ. So Lisa was gracious enough to bless us by reading Luke 10, 17 through 21. And before I get to that portion of the scripture she read, I want to focus on chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road." When I was in grade school, my mother would get calls all the time about me, and either I was playing around, running all over the school, or making a joke or something. And in fact, one teacher told my mother I was the class clown. And let me tell you this, I wore that title with honor. And I can also remember in the first grade leaving my class and going in the kindergarten classroom because they had all the cool toys. Now later, my mother would tell me that they wanted to put me on Ritalin because I was so hyper and they believed I was ADHD. But in short, it meant I lacked focus. And because I lack focus, I missed a lot of the lesson. Because I lack focus, I failed to understand what I was there for. And when Jesus told this group of 72 not to greet others on the road, it was because he didn't want them to lose focus. Again, Jesus appointed 72 others. Now, some scholars say these were 72 additional disciples, while other scholars say they were apostles. Nevertheless, Jesus gave them the same mission he gave the 12 disciples at the beginning of Luke 9. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he told them, "Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money. But this is where or this is what we spotlight." He told the 72, "Do not greet anyone on the road. Do not greet anyone on the road." See, Jesus wanted to make sure that this group of 72 remained focused on their mission to avoid unnecessary delays. See, back then, greetings were, they were time consuming. It wasn't, "Hey, how are you?" and "keep walking." No, there was a conversation, a long conversation. But it's deeper than that because Jesus knows what many of us have learned. And that is the enemy is slick. Let me say that again. The enemy is slick. And we should know that Jesus didn't say anything for the sake of saying it. He was intentional with his direction. He was intentional with his message. And one of the most effective weapons the enemy uses against us is distraction. This weapon is so effective because we don't even realize we've been attacked. hey, there's a party we want you to attend, or we're going out of town, will you join us? Or, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Or I'm having so many personal problems and I need all of your attention to vent. God has blessed us on so many levels with so many things, but if we're not careful, these things can be distractions and we can focus on the wrong things. We can spend so much time focusing on jobs, our careers, our goals, celebrities, politics, and even our families. Distractions equal distractions. See, as long as they kept moving, as long as they focused on their mission, as long as they prayed in Jesus' name, they were fine. But if they spent their time greeting people they met along the journey, time would have been wasted and the souls saved, the souls healed, the demons that submitted would have been minimized. This journey, this mission wouldn't have been as successful or successful at all. Each of us should strive to be Christ-like. And the more we follow the mission, the more we understand the Great Commission, the more Christ-like we are. Where would we be if we focused on the Word, right? Where would we be if we focused on praying? Where would we be if we focused on making disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything Jesus commanded, and understanding he is always with us? I remember watching the movie School Days. And at the end of the movie, one of the characters, I believe Lawrence Fishburne, rung a bell on the college campus and yelled repeatedly, "Wake up! Wake up! Wake up!" The bell is ringing and Jesus is telling us to wake up. Jesus is the centerpiece of everything we believe and faithful in everything God gave him to do. Wisdom and knowledge are at his fingertips and he's ready to expose us to his greatness. He's ready to give us power and authority in his name to heal, cast out demons, and witness to the world. And while our faith should increase as a society, we're moving further away from God because we're distracted. We are being dumbed down and we don't even know it. Our attention span has diminished. Technology has kept us or made us lazy. Now, we are used to having everything at our fingertips, but you can't treat God like a genie in a lamp. We can't just pull an app of salvation or pull up a bless me page on the internet. Everything that takes us from God can be a distraction. And when we focus on all of our streaming apps, and yes, I'm talking about myself as well, when we focus on what one political party did to another political party, when we focus on what sports team won the championship and how bad the referees were, we should ask ourselves, is this pleasing to God? Did my focus take me off my mission to spread the gospel? See, all the information that's accessible to us, all the technology that has advanced us has nothing. And let me say that again, has nothing on God. It doesn't come close to his knowledge or capabilities. Yet we focus on the counterfeit and ignore the real deal. I was tricked by thinking that my victory or God helping me overcome anger meant I was in a good place. But those distractions are long lasting. And it's not just a moment of anger or fall to temptation. Don't get me wrong. It's okay to spend time with friends or have a favorite sports team or watch movies, but we cannot allow it to consume us because we have kingdom business to tend to. And we have so much work to do. As Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I know it feels good when we go to church. I know it's relaxing to sit back and listen to the preacher deliver a powerful sermon while we throw some hallelujahs here and there. But in this case, we're distracted by comfort. Look for God, connect with God, work for God. And when you do this, you can't be relaxed or laissez-faire. Now, when we move forward and read verses 17 through 20, we learn that the 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." But Jesus said to the 72, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. As a society, we have become self-consumed. Everything is about me. It's a me, me, me society. And as we read this, we learn that one of the biggest distractions is our pride. When we get caught up in our accomplishments, it's a distraction, but it doesn't end there. See, initially, we'll get caught up in our high-paying job, our big house, our perfect-looking family, our title, and so on. But eventually, it will come to, "God, I don't need you anymore." See, they gave Jesus a little credit, just a little. "Even the demons submit to us in your name." But eventually, if Jesus had not used this as a teachable moment, they would have removed the "in your name" and said, "The demons submit to us." And there is nothing, and I mean nothing, we can do to make the Lord say, "Wow, Alonzo is awesome." Man is still a filthy rag. And Jesus reminded the 72 of this slippery slope by saying something that would get their attention. He said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Satan's pride produced judgment and punishment that came swiftly. Many people who have sinful pride believe they're self-made. They rely on their gifts and talents instead of God. See, I'm not the only one God called to spread the gospel. I'm not the only one he loves. I'm not the only one he's shown mercy to. There's always someone working just as hard, if not more. God wants us to be humble because pride is a barrier between us and God. Barrier, distraction, hurdle. It gets in the way. It stops us from growing in Christ. Now, people keep telling you you're all that. And when they do this, eventually, if you're not careful, you'll start to believe it, and we will fall from grace swiftly. Because if you're not humble, at some point in your life, you will be. See, God has given us all gifts, whether you're a celebrity, a statesman, an influencer, a professional athlete, custodian, a server, a farmer, police officer, police chief, nurse manager, teacher, principal, soldier, or general. We all have gifts. And we all have been called to use our gifts to bring others to Christ. In John 15, Jesus explains that those who abide in him are able to bear much fruit. So focusing on Christ is essential for spiritual growth and effectiveness. But distractions can lead people astray. Later in this chapter, Martha was focused on worldly matters, preparing, serving, entertaining guests, while her sister Mary sat at Jesus' feet and learned. David was distracted by Bathsheba's beauty. Peter was distracted by the water, so instead of focusing on God and continuing to walk on water, he fell. Saul, distracted by pride, didn't obey God. And of course, Adam and Eve, distracted by pride, and they thought eating the forbidden fruit would give them godlike knowledge. Stay focused. If we were only childlike. In Luke verse 21, it says, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. Be humble, because when you're humble, you're teachable. You ever met a know-it-all? You can't teach them anything because they know everything and they never grow. So trust in the Lord. I pick up Solani and she just falls back and I spin her around and I throw her in the air and she laughs and she begs for me to do it again. Not one time has Solani shown concern that I'll drop her. Not one time has she believed that I would let her go. Do we trust God this way? Depend on God. Do we depend on him when challenges come our way? Over and over, we see exceptional people get caught up in their own success, and then it becomes a weight. We're excited about the stories of people who went from rags to riches, the person who overcame all odds, the people who redeemed themselves and came back even better than before. We celebrate that. We rejoice. The 72 rejoiced that they were able to heal and cast out demons, but Jesus said, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Again, it's the opposite of pride, because when you're prideful, you're not happy when others succeed. In fact, oftentimes you're jealous. But when you're truly in understanding, you know that others coming to Christ is the real celebration, and their names are in heaven because God put them there. We should rejoice that another soul was won over and they will be afforded everlasting life. Our accomplishments on earth, while they feel good, the feeling doesn't last. But we also have to realize that our success came to pass because God allowed them to come and pass. I wore the badge at 24 years old. And for a young man to have that type of power, the attention, the accolades, it all can be intoxicating. And I remember the excitement when I was hired and when I got promoted for the first time, and I took pride in knowing policies like the back of my hand. I took pride in reading all the literatures on police strategies and the books on leadership and police management. but we can be humbled very quickly. A single car crash that could have easily been deadly was a wake-up call. And that alone was a reminder that God put me in this position. No one else. And if we are to move forward, amen, if we are to spread the gospel, heal, cast out demons, prophesize, and minister to others, remember, it's in Jesus' name. It's in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.